All right. Well, it's Independence Day here in the United States. And a few days before was Canada Day for our family members who live in Canada. Being a Dominion, I guess. You know, I don't know how it goes. It went to being, went from being a, I don't think it was a piece of the UK, but they went from being a Dominion to being a, just a country, I guess. Anyway, so, we have the missionaries over, we have a new missionary, and he's 22 months, been around quite a bit, and, I noticed first he had a rainbow-colored, what would Jesus do, bracelet on his arm, you know, one of those. I don't know if they're still called friendship bracelets. I don't know. Anyway, and so it was like, oh, okay. And I said, And frankly, to be honest, I don't think I was really paying good attention to the conversation. I was going off someplace else, I think. And Lisa had been talking for a while, and all of a sudden he was getting very, I don't usually tell people this, but I'm gonna share it with you. And it's like, oh, okay. And very, you know, you don't want to be rude to people, but I've got to be honest, very formulaic, gay, Mormon, talk came quickly. And it shared some intimate details, which I don't want to go into. Not intimate as in sexual, but just personal things. And he did reveal that his father had problems with this. I don't want to just be a jerk right out, so I try not to. I probably should, if I'm being completely honest. I think I would almost immediately pain these people. But can I tell you that a lot of people that I know from the, quote, LGBTQ, a few more letters, community, which is not really much of a community, because they're very different people. The only thing they really share is their desire to be able to take advantage of the oppression that has worked so well for blacks. And I wouldn't normally bring this stuff up, except that it was so textbook. He was like, oh my gosh, which website? And he brought up a podcast that he thought was really, really useful. And you're going, that's where he got it from. That's where he got his, I don't know if it's rude to call it banter, but his outlook on it I don't want to put words in his mouth. The banter that he got know, make sure you use the term gay. Don't let people recast you, particularly as a person with the same sex attraction. That makes it sound like you've got some sort of a malady, a mental illness or a disease, you know. It's like the difference between saying, yeah, I'm autistic, rather than saying, I am a person with autism. And I understand how that was, and I tried, you know, and I said, I think I know some of the concerns that you might have and things like that, because of working with Matt, who's profoundly different. And what battles you really pick with him. Because, I mean, there's usually a daily Matt getting argumentative about something that the other person probably doesn't even understand. I don't understand it most of the time. And just saying, okay, Matt, okay. Yeah. Okay, but it's like, I don't know what he means. And you try to say, Matt, but that's not right. And boy, he will go to the mat. And you go, you know what? He says, I don't want to have to practically bully him every day to get him to back off on stuff that he better not act on. If he wants to stay out of jail, he needs to not act upon some things that he can get pretty livid about. That's why we don't take him out in public very much. And I'm sure people would say, "Oh, you're being rude. You're caging him up. You're doing stuff." And you're going, "Okay, you know, I'm not gonna have this argument with people because there is absolutely no way to win." And that's the way it is with the LGBTQ banter, is it's so well programmed. It's like the old rainbow missionary discussion. How interesting that they were rainbow colored. Because the old rainbow ones were so scripted, I swear it was put together by a salesman who was also a lawyer, because every lawyer will tell you, don't ask questions you don't already know what the other person is going to make sure you ask a question to which your opponent only has one response to make. You already know what their answer is going to be. Those are the only questions you should be asking your opponent. Anyway, but yeah, boy, it dipped into that almost immediately. It dipped, you know, and it was like, you know, I don't know how we got on to unconditional love. I don't know what triggers it. I don't know why. But Lisa and he got into that. And of course, you know, yeah, I've done, and I said it in there at some point. It was later on. But I said, you depend on the fact that Christ's love is unconditional. I don't. I know that I have to change. I am probably going to have to change to align myself with Christ and with His gospel. I have to change. Rule number one of people who subscribe to gayness, LGBTQ stuff, is that they don't have to change. must accept them the way they are. And you go, you do know that that's right off of the map of the whole thing. That means that, by and large, you're not ever going to repent. And, of course, it was all about how he was picked on as a young person, especially in the church, in the LDS culture that he was brought up in. And, you know, and that was hateful, and that was rude, mean, and nasty. And you go, well, I'm sorry. You know, of course, I don't say this to them. You know, it's just there are standards that we're trying to set. You know, we are a strange thing. On some level, we are almost like Jews in that we are a culture and also a religion. And I don't tend to, I you guys know me, I am not a fan of the Utah Cultural Center, you know. 3/4 of the people that we end up giving service to, end up giving welfare to, are people who are Latter-day Saints in name only. The children of Latter-day Saints, it's always hilarious when parents approach us about their kids when they're not present. They're coming here for college or something. And it becomes this huge thing that they're wanting us to parent their kids. And you're going, I'm not going to do it. I says, will I help them? Sure. If they have questions, they can ask me, sure. Well, if they start going astray, I want you to stop them. However, you have to. And you go, you're going to have to keep up with your kid better than that. If your kid is wanting to get away from you or get away from Utah, this is, I am not the guy that's going to inject Utah into everything. Anyway, so let me tell you, this missionary came up with some bizarre things and gave my wife an extremely bizarre challenge to say this was the first thing she needed to do to right herself with her daughter. And you're going, my daughter needs to right herself with the Lord. She's gotten angry enough that she said, don't ever talk to me again about anything remotely religious. And I hate you and you're not my father anymore. Of course, it's like, wow, okay. You know, this is boy. You know, and you know, she can just say, you were abusive and you know what? That's it. There is nothing else to say. Nothing else to do. Anyway, and that's just... And that's just another part of the playbook. The LGBTQ playbook is to frame things all this way because there is really no comeback. It's a he versus she thing, and it's like, or whatever versus whatever thing. And it's like, nah. Because you know what? You can say I was an abuser all day long, I don't care. Which... it's really flummoxing because most people are supposed to kill themselves trying to convince that child that they A, either didn't abuse them, which will never work, or B, cow like mad, like crazy to make sure that you don't get accused of abuse anymore. Which means they have total control over everything about you. This missionary was so, he even said, let me get you in touch with my father, who changed his mind and decided that whatever I decide to do, whether I got married to a man, whether I got married to a woman, whether I never got married, everything was just fine with him. And you're going, wow, what kind of emotional beating did you give that guy until he finally said, boy, I'm not going to do a dang thing because all I want my kid to do is like me. And you're going, I'm sorry. I just recently was doing one of my, my blog posts. And I don't know if it was Illinois, I just shoved up and it really didn't have much to do with any of this. Or at least I didn't think so at the time. And then it's like, oh my gosh, no, it has a lot to do with it. Which is, Christ said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. You know, I turn fathers against sons. I turn daughters against mothers. I turn daughter-in-laws against their mother-in-laws. You know, and his thing about saying, anybody who turns away from me for daughter or son or mother or father or mother-in-law or, you know, I forget. I don't think there's anything more than that. I want no part of you. And it was like, whoa, number one, it is yet another thing of, do you see unconditional love in this statement? You know, they can go, well, that's just not a good scripture. That one doesn't say it right. That was, and you go, well, this is, I don't mean to be rude, but that's New Testament. You don't even have to be a Latter-day Saint. Christians should think about this one, because this is part of their canon as much as it is ours. This missionary was very much about, well, you need to know when to listen to some apostles and when not to listen to others and this and that. And you're going, wow, so we get to kind of cherry pick what sayings of the prophets we want to be okay with? And I go, you know, everybody ends up kind of doing it on some level. There's some apostles they really like and some apostles that they kind of don't like. And, I'm kind of a hardliner, so I kind of tend to really like what I would consider to be more hardline apostles. Oaks, Bednar. Not that I have any particular problem with any of them. Most of the junior apostles, they tell nice 70 stories lately. Or I guess they kind of always have. You know, it's not surprising given junior status that they haven't quite gotten to the point of saying what I say, you know, is the word of God to the church. That's scary stuff, and I don't blame them for kind of saying, I don't think I'm going to go there. You know, I'm just going to tell nice faith-promoting stories of the people I've run into and stuff like that. You know, I'm not sure I need a whole lot of that from apostles. I don't mind getting it from the general officers of the church in the 70s, and it doesn't bother me. You know, they aren't there to lay down the law. Anyway, so, but that was an interesting thing he came up with. Then he made the challenge that my wife needed to use whatever pronouns and name our daughter wanted to use. But that was our first step toward being more loving, is to accept all these things. And of course, Lisa's like, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, she'll give you her impassioned plea about why she's not going to do that. I'm a little more clinical, and I am not here to make you happy. I am here to get you on a road that's going to get you to someplace good. And I know that if you choose not to, there's not a ton I can do about it, except be quite straightforward about, you know, what I know to be true. Too many people are too wrapped up in feelings and, well, you know, the only thing that kept me in this church was the fact that my parents loved me and they accepted me for what I was. It took them a long time, and I didn't associate with the church for a long time, and it was, you know, and I don't want to put words in his mouth to say that it was because his father finally gave in, I guess, for lack of a better way of stating it. And, you know, it was like, well, you know, I better just accept what my son is going to be and what it's going to be. And I told him that I was going to love him no matter what he did. And you're going, dude, you don't have to do that. So that's not required. Says Christ wouldn't do that. Christ would be the first one to say that you need to stop. You need to go another direction. Please be reminded that when the woman who was brought before him, having been caught in the act of adultery, that he did not forgive her. He told her, go and sin no more. That's not forgiveness. That's not particularly love. He didn't choose to execute the Mosaic law dictum. You know, those guys, everybody else that had set up this scenario for Jesus to get caught in. And the interesting thing is, I actually listened to a Bible scholar who said that this wasn't in the original Bible, that it was added later. He says, I don't know if he knew when, but there can be some question as to how apocryphal this story was and how much we can use it as a guide to how to behave or whatever. Although I don't think it's terribly bad at all. But people have definitely said, see, he didn't judge that woman that was taken in adultery. He loved her. And you go, I don't know what about what happened there was an expression of his love for her. He chastised those who brought him before him, you know, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone, and they all wandered off. And the only thing he asked her was, so where are thine accusers? And he goes, I don't, you know, gone, Lord. And he goes, neither, you know, those who condemn you, said, neither will I condemn you. But then he said, go and sin no more. It was a charge to go and stop doing what she was doing. Get herself together. And that's not what you get out of, I'm sorry, the LGBTQ Mormon script, how you're supposed to state it, how you're supposed to do all this. I'm sure he learned it on this podcast, you know, from podcasts, telling you, you know, if you tell somebody, and you don't really have to tell them, this is how you need to approach it with people. You plant it into their heads to use this kind of logic, to use these kinds of tactics in order to, number one, make you look like I'm such a martyr. Aren't you glad I haven't chosen to, I don't know, commit suicide, you know, or leave the church, or do this, or do that, or, you know, decide to turn you into the authorities for hate crimes, or all these things, and I guess what's expected of you as compensation for them not making you look like a homophobe or something else that you don't want to look like, that you have to be accepting of the whole ball of wax, including you better march the pride parade with me or you're a horrible person. Shayna pulled that stunt on me, but it wasn't about that. It was about not being in her art show, and that was apparently one of my abusive things. And you're going, sorry, I've got a job. There's only so many days I can take off of work, and you know me, I'm not the type of guy who takes days off of work. And that was part of the thing about I was a bad father, and so bad that she wouldn't acknowledge me as her father anymore. And, you know, and it's almost that kind of emotional hostage taking. And what I was supposed to do was crumple like a piece of paper at her feet, let her kick me around, and then say, oh, thank you for kicking me around. I deserve it. And, you know... what do I need to do? Well, you need to pay off my student loans. Or something else. Or never question any of the things I say. You're supposed to support me, and you go, Shayna, you've told untrue stories all the time, and you've cost me money by telling stories, and so I'm sorry. Lisa is very sensitive to this. She does not like having that done to her, and I think she's starting to get that feeling from a lot of people about you need to change your attitude. You need to change the way you think about Jesus Christ. You know, or you're a bad person. You're going, you know what? This is, I am way past being worried about being a bad person. I'm a jerk. I'm a major jerk, and that means that I am getting better and more bold about saying what's going on and how this is not Christ. This is not how Christ wants us to behave. This is not Christian. These are satanic tactics being used to get you to stop doing what you should be doing, to praise people for doing what they shouldn't be doing, and to actually not just be okay with it, but to be supportive of it. You know, like, getting to the point of giving them money. Anyway, so it was really interesting because it was this whole thing about, well, you really need to know when to listen to some prophets and when not to. And it's like, holy moly. I guess that extends to scriptures too, you know, and the challenge was to use, especially in the case of Shayna, to use her pronouns, to use her things, and his justification was that this is what the church wants you to do because in a person's church records, you can specify what their preferred pronouns are and what their preferred name is. And that's true. That's rather recent. That can be done. That should not be viewed as a policy change or as a doctrinal pillar. And I'm a little, I'm sorry. Missionaries are not to be counseling members of the church. Missionaries are to work with investigators and new members. They are not there to counsel church members particularly at all. And it was like, I'm being counseled by this little whippersnapper to do something. And I said, and there's no scriptural basis for this. I said, I can pull out scriptures about the whole thing about you shouldn't dress up as men. Women shouldn't dress up as men. Men shouldn't dress up as women. That's in the scriptures. I don't know if it's Christ. Might be. I'd have to go find it. I know it's there. And you go, I don't mean to be rude, but there's a whole situation with Sodom and Gomorrah, I guess. You know, it says, is that in your Bible? It's in mine. It says that, it says, and that was why their cities were destroyed, laid waste. Everybody died. The wife of Lot, who looked back with longing on it, got turned into a pillar of salt. I said, I guess you can say that didn't really happen. It's in there for some reason. To the point to where we call men pleasuring themselves on other men, that's called sodomy. Called sodomy because it was the sin of Sodom that God punished. You can interpret that for whatever you want. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you need to repent. Although, you can. Probably what Christ would tell you. I really don't want to have arguments about things. If you want to live your life, whatever. So now, I'm going to have a little problem if you preach that in, like, Sunday school or in priesthood, and it's like, well, it's like, I have to say something. You just can't let that state, let stuff that's kind of askew stand. You have to say, I think that's a little askew. I think we need to proceed carefully and not think that this is acceptable behavior. Anyway, I don't know what to do exactly. It's like, well, should I send something off to the mission president saying, this is what your missionary counseled with my wife to do about a situation in our family? You can do what you want with the information. Lisa was very poignant about the fact that, well, if I had anybody that I thought was I wanted to introduce to the gospel and wanted the missionaries to go over their place, I don't know if, she said, I'm not going to do it while he's here. It's like, yep, that's Lisa. You just need to be forgiving. You go, forgiving of what? Of him preaching this strange doctrine? Even though it's like, well, I don't tell this to too many people, and you're going, why do I think that that may not be actually true? It says, you're actually, you know, you're wearing a rainbow band, which everybody knows today that that means you are an LGBTQ supporter or proponent or whatever. He's a practitioner. That doesn't mean he's done anything. But when they start wearing the paraphernalia, does that mean they're just two steps away from doing it? It's like riding that edge as hard as I can. I want to be as gay as I can be, and if the church gives me any more trouble, and they already have, if my parents give me any grief about this, if anybody in my ward says boo about anything I do, it'll be on their heads, because I will walk away from this church because they're hateful and they're horrible. And you're going, wow, talk about holding as many people as you can possibly contrive hostage to your personal feelings. Boy, is that following the example of Jesus Christ. Woo, doggy! You know that's what Jesus Christ was doing all the time, was holding everybody around him hostage to his feelings and to what he thought. You got, you know, I'm sorry, that's the way I look at it, because that's what I see. That is the power of proclaiming these things. Almost, you know, he said, oh, I knew very, very young that I was always this way and always felt this way. And you go, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I'm pretty sure that little kids do not have sexualized thoughts very much. Although, I can say, let me think, I was in third grade or fourth grade, so I was 8, and I've got problems, and I have to work on them, and I see them through and stuff like that. I questioned once whether I might be gay because I seem to be acting a lot like people that were coming out and saying, yeah, I'm gay. But then I thought about it, and I said, no, I'm not gay, because, you know, and then I came up with my other reason why I wasn't gay, which was really good, because I wouldn't have anything close to what I have today if I had chosen to go that road, which is why people who go down that road, and they can, it pains me because of what they give up for a sexual preference? Oh, you don't understand how strong this is. You go, oh, bull pucky, bull crap. Everybody's got sex drive. You think yours is so unique? It's garbage. The biggest thing you have to do as a young person is learn how to curb your freaking sex drive. Come on. Sorry. Sitting there turning it into some kind of way of life. This is the way I've always been. And let me tell you, the brethren are being really nice. Really nice. By saying, okay, we're just not going to have this battle because there's just no point having a battle about it. That's really the way they feel. They're just going to keep feeling that way. We'll just say, fine, there's somebody who has a same-sex attraction. We're not going to do the older line, which is, you know, no. It says, you've been talked into this. Something about, you know, it says, overbearing single mom who hated your father. So a guy becomes gay. That was a regular line. And, you know, it had its troubles. Anyway, so I'm not gonna, you know, because I said, I'm sorry. I said, I chose not to go down that road. And I'm not saying that I abandoned it immediately. But I chose not to go down that road. To go, you know what? It says, you guys are so... You guys think sex is the central thing. And they're going, you don't get it at all. Is sex an important part of feeling fulfilled? Yes. This is now, the older you get, the less you're going to get. It says, can I tell you? You know, it says, during my marriage, Lisa and I didn't have sex very often. At the beginning, I think we had it more, and then it wasn't too long until it was not a thing. One of our more interesting doctors in Oklahoma City, I didn't think much of him, honestly. I think doctors were way too much into trying to psychoanalyze you alongside of everything else. And it's one of my things about just staying away from doctors, period. Because doctors think they're God, and guess what? They aren't that nice kind of God that's really trying to rescue you. They are that really nasty God that really wants you to do exactly what they say. And they, you know, and they get trained to say things a certain way so that you don't feel like they're just dictating to you what you're going to be doing. You know, and it's a freaking life plan. You know, and you're going to be doing, you know, I'm going to put you on this drug and this drug and this drug, and you're going to be taking these for the rest of your life. And if you ever stop taking them, well, I've seen you just don't care about your health. What kind of a horrible person are you? I should go to the courts and take away your ability to make medical decisions for yourself. I should be made your medical ward, and you have to do what I say, and you have to show up at the appointments. I say you're going to show up at, and you're going to have to do anything that I tell you, because I now have that power over you. Psychologists have it. Medical doctors have it. There's getting to be social workers. You can become like that in threatening to take away your children. If that threat doesn't work, they'll just do the whole abuse thing, and you'll go to jail as punishment for not doing what the social worker said. Not being compliant to the plan that the social worker has generously created for you. And it's like, oh, great. I'm your slave, too. Got it. Anyway, so, yeah. And I don't like it when a missionary starts playing that game, too. Here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to do this, and you're going to have to do this. You're going, excuse me, young man. He says, you don't tell me what to do. And you don't give me some weird cockamamie challenge. And I'm not going to sit here and justify my behavior to you. Anyway, so it was just really, it was bizarre. And it's like, you know what? And let me tell you, he was really good, you know, very soft-spoken, very this, you know, I don't know if it was studied or whether that's just his manner to begin with. Very frightening. He can have you going down the road to hell in 5 seconds, and you know what? he wasn't telling me to follow Jesus Christ. He was telling me to be placating toward, sorry, sin. Susan, I'm not, Susan, I'm not going there. I was just trying to get the conversation to kind of end. And I didn't do a very good job. And, you know, Susan, this is no, sorry, this is not. It's almost like, I feel like with a missionary like that, it needs to be the whole thing of, you know what, just don't come in my house, okay? And please don't talk to my family, all right? I'm not really interested in what you've got to say. What's this? Is he trying to get me to stop? What's he doing? I don't know. I'm not going to help you, man. Too many bad things happen. I don't have that good feeling to do it. I've got the feeling to drive on. Anyway, so yeah, boy, that was interesting. Anyway, we struggle an awful lot with these things. I'm not going to sit here and question why the brethren send these kinds of missionaries on, proselyting missionaries, on proselyting missions. I think they would be far better served on service missions, but I don't know. I don't know. Service missionaries are really supposed to be for people who are somewhat disabled. Boy, you better not tell. A gay person that they aren't, that they might have a mental illness. Oh my gosh. That is the number one way to get yourself in so much trouble with the authorities. I don't know what to do. Maybe they send to Texas because, you know, they go, well, Texans are pretty strong. You won't cause as many problems as he would with people in other places. I don't know. But I am tempted to say no. Now, I'm just going to do it by the whole thing of we're going to feed you. We're not going to. It's like, no. Don't. Yeah. If you've got somebody you want to introduce the gospel to, I'm not sure you really want to do that. And I guess I'm being a nasty, rotten jerk. I would use a stronger term, but that's usually considered swearing, and it's inappropriate, so. I think having such people preaching the gospel and then telling people these things, encourages them to come in and try to change the church. Now, he's not, you know, he isn't going out, maybe stopping down the streets. I don't know if he has yet. You go, but he's certainly willing to take the slower route of trying to convince people one by one to behave in a manner that Christ doesn't tell us to behave in. So, you know, just I don't know what to do. I don't know if I need to call or contact the mission president and say, here's my concerns. This young missionary came out and counseled with my wife to do this, and these were commitment pattern work of getting her to the point to where she should be doing this. Says, I'm not really excited about somebody using the tools of missionary work to actually get my wife to do something that I don't approve of. And that I don't think is compatible with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I didn't like what he used. Well, not everything that that apostles say need to be taken. And you go, this was an Inside Magazine article written by an apostle. This was a talk given in general conference by an apostle. And he's saying that, Christ had said Moses signed. It's not being really, and I'm sorry, he seems a really nice guy. He says, but, he said, this is not good. This is not good. And, just wanted to let you know what your missionaries were up to. Counseling with members. My thought would be, you need to stick to the gospel of Jesus Christ as written by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You shouldn't get into that. Even if you have, if you feel like you have something more to say about it, I think you should refrain. Let's discuss this in Sunday school and priesthood and settings like that. It's okay for missionaries to contribute in there, but this isn't their forte. This isn't their stuff. You're not going to be getting counsel, particularly from the Lord, on how to help members of the church. That's not your bailiwick. Read your ministerial certificate. It helps you know what you're supposed to be doing and what your ordination entitles you to do. And it's not to do that. And just because the church records can be annotated a certain way does not mean that this is counsel from the Lord on how to handle transgendered people. Anyway, do I want to get on him particularly? No. He's been taught this by somebody. His parents decided that the love of their child, who probably threatened them was saying, I'm going to go off and do what I want to do. And if you don't pat me on the head and tell me how much you love me, well, you're a bad parent. You're a bad person. And they fell into line because that's what they do. And they'll rationalize it, and they'll say, oh, yes, I was wrong. I just did not see it. And paint Christ in this realm, and you go, you do know that this is not how Christ behaves toward us. I'm not going to be bullied. Certainly not by my children. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you've gone to the point to where you've really studied, you've really done a good job, if you're really quite polished, and you're really quite good. Said, I don't think much of you at all. I probably just need to confront him and say, Elder, I would appreciate it if you didn't counsel members of my family that is outside of your calling. Okay? That's all I gotta say. I'm coming up on out there. Probably wouldn't hurt to get some gas, unless it's really expensive. Anyway, so yeah. Other than that, we had a really nice. I had an extra 2 days off the day before. Independence Day and Independence Day itself, and it was wonderful. Being able to spend a couple more days with Lisa, hopefully not making her